All right, let's do this. Before we get started, how about we start with prayer?
Yes.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
All right, so we are going to talk about intercessory prayer, but I can't talk about prayer without introducing you to my friends, the Skit Guys. Do y'all know the Skit Guys? Oh, good. It works better if you don't know them yet. All right, now, I have a microphone here, and I was told by my IT guy to put it here. And now we'll try this. Ready?
Leo. God.
It's about how we pray.
Right here. It's me. Hi. I know we really haven't talked in a long time, and that is totally my fault. So if you don't mind, I've worked out the verbiage, and I think I got it down. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just come to you right now and pray to you. I think you're really going to be impressed. So here I go. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee.
You can just talk to me normal.
Amen.
There's so much more I wanted to talk to you about.
Prayer ever feel like that to y'all? Yeah. Anybody ever try to pray that way? No?
No.
Anybody ever seen anybody pray that way?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not really an Episcopal way to pray, is it? That's not really how we pray. We'll come back to the Skit Guys in a minute. Now I have to figure out how to do this. Hang on. Here it comes.
Bless you.
So, we're going to talk about intercessory prayer, and that is not an effective way to pray intercessory prayer. Okay, now I'm going to move this over here. No, I'm not. Why is that? Okay, never mind. We'll just read it. Anybody have an idea where we might find a biblical mandate to pray for one another? There are a lot of biblical mandates in the Bible. That was really good. Any idea where in the Bible we might look? Father Terry might have some ideas, but anybody else?
A lot of places.
Yeah. How about in the book of James? The book of James says, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." Right? Why? Well, because the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Right? Okay. So we know we're supposed to pray, and we know we're supposed to pray for one another, especially in times of need. Now, y'all know I like to sing, so I'm going to sing a little bit. You can sing with me if you want to. You know Stephen Curtis Chapman? Anybody know Stephen Curtis Chapman? I'm seeing a few heads nod. Yeah, a few heads shake. That's all right. He was commissioned to write a song for the National Prayer Breakfast several years ago. And he did, and he's got a real famous song called Let Us Pray. It goes like this. I hear you say your heart is aching. You've got trouble in the making. If you ask, will I be praying for you, please? And in keeping with conviction, I say yes with good intentions. To pray later, making mention of your needs. Since we have this moment here at heaven's door, we should start knocking now. What are we waiting for? Let us pray, let us pray. Goes on. That's enough. So my question to you is this. I wonder if anybody here has had that experience of being with someone who says things aren't right. I'm not well. I am lonely. I'm suffering. I have troubles in the making. And we say, I love you, and I'll pray with you. I'll pray for that. If you've ever done that, show a hand. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good, good, good. And when we do that, I don't know about you, but for me, I'll just speak for me. Whenever I had said that in the past, I've had really good intentions, like Stephen Curtis Chapman says, to make mention of that person's needs later when I get home in the privacy of my home, maybe, right? And sometimes those good intentions for me, I'm not going to say for you, but for me, sometimes those good intentions fade away in the frenetic pace of my life. And I'm going to be honest, can get forgotten. Anybody had that experience, maybe? You don't have to say yes. This isn't really the confessional. You could say yes if you want to. Okay, I'm going to switch back here, and I'm going to show you what it looks like when that happens. And I'm going to skip over lots of other ways that we sometimes pray to show you what maybe it looks like, hang on, when that happens. There's a lot of good, weird ways to pray in this video. If we had, like, all night, I would show them all to you. Okay, here we go. This is kind of what that looks like.
You, God.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hi, it's me. I thought I'd cover you before I go to bed tonight. And, guys, first want to tell you thank you. God, what an amazing playground that we call Earth. And it's so awesome. So I just really want to give you... God, you know, I want to be salt and light to the world, God, you know, and be salt and light and just a big old bag of salt, God. Light and salt and sight and malt and pepperoni and oregano.
But that has happened to me many times when I have said to somebody, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's happened in your life. I'll pray for you. Okay, another confession. Have you ever used... I'm going to turn this off now. Are you sure? I'm sure. Have you ever used that phrase, I'll keep you in prayer, as a way of ending a conversation? Oh, I'll keep you in prayer. Bye. come on. You've been there with me. I know. It goes like this. Well, I got to get my kids, or I got to get to work, but I will keep you in prayer. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And off you go. And I'm going to tell y'all real honestly, there was a time in my life where that was basically what intercessory prayer looked like for me. I would hear about somebody who was in need, somebody whose heart was aching, and who had troubles in the making, and I would tell them with my whole heart, I mean, don't misunderstand, I would tell them with my whole heart that I would pray for them. But often then I would be like, okay, I don't know how to get out of this conversation, and so I would say, I'm going to pray for you. Bye. And then I would be yawning in my bed at night, thinking, there was somebody I was going to pray for, and I really meant to pray for them. And I had really good intentions, like Stephen Curtis Chapman says. But I didn't follow through. And then one Sunday morning, years ago, when I was still at the cathedral, I myself was going through a really hard time in my life. And somebody there noticed and said, boy, it looks like you got some troubles in the making. And I said, yeah, I'm struggling. And I'm going to tell you, I don't remember what was going on in my life. And I don't remember what I shared with her. And she said to me, well, I will pray for you. And I dutifully said, sort of like turned to get my coat saying thank you, because I thought what she was saying is we're done talking now, right? I have somewhere to go. And I turned around and she had put all her things down. And she took my hands and she said, Lord Jesus Christ. And y'all, I mean, I was a lawyer at this time. I've never been so uncomfortable in my life. Because here was this woman in my church who was like holding my hands and going to pray for me right there out loud. Like, and there were other people around and they were going to watch and maybe hear this. And she did. And I felt so awkward and so loved all at the same time. So I went off and I thought that was really amazing. And it sort of felt like that peace that passes understanding, you know, that Paul talks about had washed over me. And I carried that around for about a week or so. And I mean, it changed my life. And then I made a real error in judgment because I told my friend, Deacon Diana Lutt, that this had happened to me. And she was a deacon at St. Matthew's Cathedral at the time. And she said, great! You are now ready to join our intercessory prayer team. They pray for people every Sunday morning at the back of the church after communion. And I was going, oh, wait. It wasn't that good an experience. Don't worry. But you can't say no to a deacon. Did you know that? You can't say no to a deacon or a priest. This is how I live my life at the time. I would love all of you to live your lives that way too. That was coming. Oh yeah. So instead of saying, oh no, I said, well, are you going to train me? I mean, are you going to teach me how to do this? And she said, oh yes. Step one of the training is you got to go to like the Catholic liturgical shop up here in Farmers Branch, and you got to get a cassock and a surplice so that you can be vested because you'll process in with the altar party. I wouldn't do anything in liturgy at the time. And so I said, okay. And so I go and I said, but I'm a girl. Are they going to sell me stuff? And she said, oh, yeah, just say you're Episcopalian and you're going to be a liturgical server. And so I went in and they were real nice and outfitted me with this cassock and surplice. And I came back and I said, okay, I'm ready. And I said, I'm ready to come to training. You just let me know when that is. And then I get an email about 3 days later, and it's got a rota, and I'm scheduled to pray. And I thought, okay, good. That's like next Sunday, and somebody's going to come with me and teach me. So I showed up, and I put all my vestments on, and I said to person after person after person who is also wearing like a black cassock and a little surplice, what are we going to do? And he said, oh, it'll be fine. You'll know. Don't worry. Finally, I found Deacon Luck, and I said, what are we going to do? We're in training. And she said, oh, thank you for reminding me. So after you take communion, you'll walk back to this little area, and you'll go behind this little rail, and people will kneel down, and you will say, how can I pray for you today? Oh, I said, okay, that's it? I mean, are you going to tell me anything else? And she said, yes, thank you. Don't put your hands on their heads. Only priests do that. So you should touch them, but not on their heads. And I mean, that was it. And then the music was playing, and we were walking up the aisle, and I was so nervous. So I went up and I took communion, and I walked back to this little nave, and I stand behind the rail thinking, Lord Jesus Christ, let nobody need prayer today. I mean, I prayed really fervently, y'all. And suddenly here comes this person, and all I know is, how can I pray for you? Don't touch the head. Don't touch the head. And of course, all I want to do then is touch the head. I mean, right. And so this person kneels down, and I say, how can I pray for you today? And I don't remember what they told me, and it doesn't matter. I took a deep breath listening to this request, and I thought, okay, Jesus, this would be a good time for the Holy Spirit to come and help me out. And I reached out and I put my hands on this person's shoulders, and words came out of my mouth. And at some time I thought I should probably say amen, and I did. And the person stood up and said, thank you so much. I feel so much better. And they walked away, and I thought, I don't know what just happened. I didn't realize at the time that I was living into St. Paul's teaching from chapter 8 of his letter to the Romans. Right? Y'all know it. Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And I will tell you, before that person came, there were some sighs in my heart. That happened over and over that day. That happened over and over many days after that. And eventually, I arrived at a place where I didn't actually have to have a cassock and a surplice on and be standing in that place, having been told to pray for people. And I started to learn how to do what my girlfriend had done for me. The ministry of intercessory prayer is like that. Our only job is to accept the challenge that we get from James, right? Pray for one another so that you may be healed, because the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And when we do that, when we say, okay, I'll do that thing that feels so weird and so awkward, and it's probably going to make that other person, if they've never had anybody do that for them, feel so weird and so awkward, the Spirit just shows up and intercedes and somehow prays what they need to hear, what God desires for them, and brings that peace that passes understanding. And Paul tells us how it happens. He says, God searches the heart and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. So we don't have to worry about, well, words come out of our mouths, when what we say is, okay, God, I'm putting myself in your hands. Send the Spirit and pray. The Spirit will give us the words that God wills to have prayed, given the life of the person for whom we're praying. All we have to do in intercessory prayer is show up. So am I the only person in the room who, like, has been in that place? Or has anybody else been in that place of, like, I don't know how to do this? Yeah. And I don't feel like we're real good at that as Episcopalians. I feel like if we don't have a Book of Common Prayer or a bulletin or something like that in our hands with some words on the page, we don't know how to pray for one another. I'll tell you sure about that. Anybody ever been to Laity Lodge down in South Central Texas? It's a retreat center that is owned and run by the H.E. Butt family. And Scott knew some friends who had been going down there for a long time once a year on a marriage retreat, and they invited us to go. And we had been married about 4 or 5 months. So we went. You know, we didn't have any children. We're like, oh, marriage retreat sounds good. So we went. And we had some great lectures, and we felt so comfortable. And then at some point, the leaders of the retreat said, now we're going to have a 25-minute break, and I'm going to send y'all off. Everybody's got your notepads and your pens. Go find a quiet place in the woods or sit on some of those benches over here. Or a few people could stay in here if they're, you know, quiet and respectful. And we want you to write a prayer for your spouse. And take about 10 minutes or so, and then pray that prayer over your spouse. And you know me, I'm like, okay, I was told to do this thing, I'm going to do this thing. And I'm getting up, and everybody's standing up, and we're all walking out of the room together to that great outdoors that's so beautiful. And I turn around to say something to my husband, and he is nowhere to be found. I mean, honestly, the entire room empties, and I am standing there going, I don't think he wants to pray with me. This is way before this thing, so I was just as uncomfortable as you might imagine. Finally, the last person out of the room is my husband, who became a member of the Episcopal Church after we'd gotten married, and that's another story. And out he comes, and he's holding a Book of Common Prayer. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I don't need to write a prayer for you. I got a whole book of them. And y'all, he to this day has not written a prayer for me. Scott, if you're listening, you owe me a prayer. And you know what he did? He like turns to the marriage ceremony and he's like, we sit down and he says, oh God, you're so consecrated the covenant of marriage. Right? That in it is represented the spiritual unity between Christ and his church. And I'm thinking, this, I'm cheated. I've been cheated out of my prayer. And he didn't really have any interest in me writing a prayer for him either.
Lord, help him.
I know. All he needed to do was ask the Holy Spirit. But I mean, I think that's real typical for us as Episcopalians. And even for those of us, and there's some of us here who are relatively new Episcopalians, but you're here because you're like, yeah, I don't want to write prayers for people. Right? I don't know how to do that. So, this is the part. I told some people that I thought I might be run out with a pitchfork tonight. Here's the part that's maybe the pitchfork part. We're going to take a few minutes tonight, and we're going to do some intercessory prayer for one another. So y'all are sitting at tables. If you have an even number at your table, it works out perfectly. And if you have an odd number, somebody's going to have to get up and go to another odd table, right? But I'd like you to turn to someone at your table. And it might be a really good idea if you're married to that person to practice this, because I'm telling you, I feel robbed of not having this. Or you could turn to somebody who's not your spouse. And I want you to look at whoever you pair yourself up with, and one of you go first, and here's what I'm going to tell you about how to do this. You look them in the eyes, and you say, how can I pray for you today? And you don't touch them on the head. You know all the secrets from Archdeacon Diana Luck. Okay? So, and I want you to, like, you know, take about 5 minutes each. Does that sound good? Mm-hmm. And I'll set a little timer, and in 5 minutes, we'll switch. Some of y'all are going to need to really have that timer be loud, and others of y'all are going to be going, is it 5 minutes yet? But let's try this, okay? So, just share, and you can share, when somebody says to you, how can I pray for you today? You could share a joy. You could say, pray Thanksgiving with me for XYZ. You could share a trouble in the making. You could share a need that you have. And whoever is asking, you just listen. And then you kind of say in your head, all right, Lord, send that Holy Spirit. And you take a deep breath and you pray. So let's give it a try. All right. Let's come back together if we can. Let's come back together. I know. It's hard to wrap up sometimes, but I'm calling you back. I'm calling you back. All right, I have a question. And you need to pay attention to the question, because this is not the kind of question that I think we're accustomed to answering in our culture. How did it feel when the person that you were paired up with prayed over you? How did it feel?
Good.
Nice.
Powerful. Nice.
Insightful.
Calm.
A release? Like somebody was taking an interest in you and heard you fully?
Yes.
Did anybody feel vulnerable?
No.
No? Okay. Did anybody feel like it was really weird? Mm-mm. Okay. How did it feel to pray for the other person that you prayed for? Felt good? Healthy?
Holy.
Holy. Okay. Supportive. For those who prayed with their spouses, not everybody did, but for those who did, have you done that before? Did anybody do that for the first time with your spouse?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yes. Is that something that you think maybe you could do again with your spouse, like when I'm not here telling you you have to? Because, you know, I told you earlier that you can't say no to a deacon or a priest. Maybe. Maybe is good. For me, when someone says to me, how can I pray for you? A whole wide chasm of vulnerability has opened up. Because what it asks me to do is dismantle my thick skin and set aside my tendency to live my life as though I'm always in the public eye and under scrutiny, and admit that I can't do this on my own, and that I'm just as stressed out as anybody else, and I'm just as fearful as anybody else, and I'm just as anxious and worried as anybody else. And that's hard for me to do, y'all. That's hard for me to do with my husband. It'd be hard for me to do with any of you. It'd be hard for me to do with just about anybody. But once I've done that, I don't know about you, I don't want to speak for how y'all felt, but once I've done that, I feel known and heard and loved. Somebody asked me recently, how do you know if God has heard your prayer? How do you know that God's listening? How do you see a result of that? And for me, when I pray with someone else in this way, when I let that thick skin become malleable and open up, and someone else prays over me, I know right then, because it does feel peaceful and good and joyful and relaxing and holy and calming, right? Jesus said that we are the body of Christ. And I don't have to have a voice
come from heaven out of nowhere to know that God has heard my prayer. Because when I pray like this with someone else, I prayed like that with you. You're a member of the body of Christ. And when you've heard my needs and you prayed for my needs, you're acting as the body of Christ. And I know that God has heard my needs because you heard them. And that doesn't mean you're God. It means you're a part of God's body here. Right? All those feelings that y'all said you had come because God showed up through the other person and the Holy Spirit entered in with sighs too deep for words and prayed through you in accordance with the will of the Father. So here's my prayer for us tonight. And I would like you to think about doing that. The next time you're tempted to say, I will pray for you, go on and say right now. And take their hands and lift it up. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be all, oh, Holy God! Right? Here's my prayer for you. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, God may grant that you would be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit. And that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that each of you here tonight may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the goodness of God. Now, to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish more abundantly far than we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.